Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, brother, are we recording that? Amen. Father, we just ask you now, God, that you would just bless your message. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And so, I've entitled this morning's message, Just As If We Never Sinned. What? You see, the reason why God gave me this topic is many of us, some of you have been walking with Christ. For me, it's been 34 years. For some of you, maybe it's just your first year walking with Christ. For some of you, maybe even half of that. I don't know how long you've been walking with Christ. But I do know one thing. We are not perfect. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We still have thoughts. We still have actions and motives and agendas that sometimes don't please the Lord. It lets me know that our position in Christ is totally different than the way we think. Because God already sees our position in Him. The moment we gave our heart to Christ, the moment we repented, the moment that God saved us, washed us in the blood of the Lamb, filled us with the Spirit of promise, from that day on, everything changed. Everything changed. What didn't change immediately is our mindset, is our thinking. Because when we first get saved, we don't know Genesis to Revelation like a theologian. So what does it do? It takes time. It takes time to be in the Word, to understand God's precepts and what God now sees you and I in a whole different perspective. And we have to glean at the Word of God to understand what is our position in Christ as a believer now. Now, I can't speak for an unbeliever because we all know an unbeliever that's not saved. We know what takes place with them. But I'm going to address this morning us believers, because many times we fail God and a lot of times we hang our head because we just failed God and maybe we did it again. And then we did that same thing again. And then we did that same thing again. And then all of a sudden, you're walking in condemnation. Now your own heart starts to condemn you. Let alone the devil wants to just smash you. Did you know when you got saved, you were a marked person now? And so God already has taken care of you from that moment on that you gave your heart to Christ. And so guess what? From that moment on, you are eternally His. But the enemy wants to dupe you, and your own heart will deceive you. So this is why we need God's Word. If God's Word is not opened, if God's Word is not read, we're never going to know how He perceives us and how we have victory. How many of you want victory? Listen, I want to walk a victorious life. Even through all my shortcomings, even through all my mistakes, even when I fumble the ball, it's time to pick up the ball and keep running toward the goal line. Finish the race. Paul finished the race. Paul was beaten, persecuted. Paul the Apostle, he was beaten, persecuted. He was so distressed, his own countrymen turned on him. He was mugged and robbed. He was beat with iron, steel rods, and yet he still praised the Lord. Every epistle that he wrote it from prison. And let me just say this. He was not in Donovan's prison, okay? He didn't have the amenities. You know, they have the big screen TVs in there. They got hot and cold running water. They got toilets. They're fed three times a day. Not Paul. Paul was chained up to another prisoner. And just imagine, they couldn't just get up and go use the restroom. So just imagine that. And they didn't have the letter A that you see when you go into a restaurant as far as sanitary conditions are concerned. No, we all know that it was probably roach and rat infested. And yet, he still praised God. Can you still praise God in the midst of your misery? In the midst of turmoil? Can you still give them all the shout and praise and say glory to God? Despite of what I'm going through. Well, let's look into the law of liberty, the word of God. See, I can be up here preaching, but I want to read it for myself in the word of God to confirm what I'm saying up here. Can I get an amen? Amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans. Someone told me this morning I was going to be in Romans. Turn to Romans chapter 5, and we're going to read 6 through 10. And if you didn't bring your Bibles, I got the word of God on the screen. I make sure you read the Bible. Can I get an amen? Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. I didn't bring my Bible. Oh, it's okay. Look on the screen. It's up there. Praise God. Here we go. In Romans 5, 6 through 10, and it reads, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Who was the ungodly? That was us. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Let me pause there. Before I'm talking about me, Fee 101, I can't speak on your behalf. I didn't know how you grew up. I didn't know your lifestyle. But I'm just sharing it with me. When I was deep in my sin, when I was walking a wretched life, did you know that Christ had already died for my sin? I had no clue. Someone had died for my ungodliness, for my wickedness. Oh, come on. Some of us would go down to El Toyon Park and drink the bull and get so drunk, and now we would go look for fights. Getting lit up. Yet God showed me that he died for me. Even through that. Wow. This is how deep God goes. He saw it all played out. But he knew the day that he would give me a mind to be saved. He knew the day that he would give me a heart to repent. He knew the day that I would come crying to him. Some of you are not there yet. When's the last time you cried before him? When's the last time you wept over your sin because he brought it to you? And you cried out and said, "Oh God." Let's look at verse 9 right up here. Look at this. But look at verse 8. "But God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Verse 9, look at this. "Much more than having you," look at this. "Much more than having now been justified." By who? By his blood. "We shall be saved from wrath through him." I need you to catch that. Because every person that comes into this world has come into a world that has fallen. Since Adam and Eve fell in the garden, sin has entered into the world. So each and every one of us that were pushed out of our mother's womb, we're all sinners. We all inherit the sin nature. Oh, come on. No one has to teach you how to lie. No one has to teach you how to cheat. Come on. It comes naturally, don't it? No one has to teach you to say, "What up?" It comes naturally. Oh, yeah. Love don't come naturally. Love is taught. But wrath. He saved us from wrath. What does that mean? He saved us from a place called hell.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
You see, because the Bible says we deserve hell, he came to save us from that horrible place. How many are so blessed to know that he came to save us from that horrible place? Oh, come on, you got to get this in your, you got to get this in your soul. Look at this. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Christ. The wrath. Well, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. How many so blessed to know that? Huh? How many so blessed to know that? My goodness. You see, I want you to catch this. Justification. The topic. Justification means in the eyes and the position of God toward the believer, toward us, is just as if we never sinned. Amen. Yet we sin every day. Yet we still fall short. So we need to go deeper in the Word to find out how does this all make sense? How does it make sense? Because I could wake up, you know, thank you, Jesus, for another day, and then all of a sudden these ungodly thoughts come out of nowhere. As soon as you're driving down a highway and you see a billboad and you see a half-cladded person, man, it's like, oh my God, oh help me, Lord. Jesus. Or is that you driving like this? Help us, Lord. I need you to catch this. Justification is the legal act where God declares the sinner to be innocent of his or her sins. He declares us innocent. It is not that the sinner is now sinless, no, but that he is declared sinless. Are you catching that? Okay, so we have sin in us, and for a believer, he's washed that sin in his blood and now has declared from heaven as sinless, yet we still have sin in us. I need you to see the mind of God. You need to see God in this. Because he knew we could not save ourselves. He knew we had no power. He knew that we couldn't get to the third heaven where he resides. You know, how many knew that he lived in the third heaven? I bet some of you didn't know that, huh? What's the third heaven? Well, the first heaven is underneath our atmosphere, the air that we breathe around the whole world. That's the first heaven. The Bible, see, if you're not reading your Bible, you're not going to understand where the first heaven is. The second heaven is when you get past our atmosphere, and now you're amongst the galaxies, the solar systems, the moons, the stars, and they go on for trillions and trillions of light years apart from one another. It's endless. That's the universe. And yet above that is the third heaven where God reigns, where God lives. I'm sorry, but we're never going to see a rocket ship that'll ever get there. We struggle just to get to the moon. But God lives in that realm. And he has declared it through all of heaven. The Bible says when one sinner repents, heaven rejoices. What? It shout on the bowels of heaven. So and so just got saved. And man, they have a party in heaven. I'm telling you, that's what the Bible says. When one sinner repents, the heavens rejoice. They rejoice. This declaration of righteousness is being justified before God. Saints, you need to catch this. This justification is based solely on the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just to give you a little history on this, as we have read the Old Testament, The way the Jews took care of temporary sin, they were told to bring once a year either a bull, a goat, turtle doves, and it would be a temporary sacrifice at the altar. So the altar would be bloody. And then the high priest would take the blood and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And your sins were dealt with for 1 year, but you had to come back again. So this is why Jesus said once and for all, I made a new covenant with mankind. God made a new deal with man. He said, no longer will you have to bring bulls and turtle doves and stuff to the altar and it'd be a bloody mess. He did it once and for all. He came to the altar. Can I get an amen? He shed his blood for you and I. And guess what? All we have to do is receive him by faith. What? That's right. It's not about let's make a deal. This is the deal. By faith. Hallelujah. We receive him by faith. My goodness. And once you connect with him, you are eternally his. Can I get an amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I need you to catch this right up here. Look, Romans 5:9. Much more than having now been justified by what? His blood. We shall be saved from the wrath through him. You see? It's real simple. When God the Father looks down on this earth and he sees us running around and some of us are still knuckleheads in our own mind. Oh, come on. Saved and unsaved, we're still knuckleheads. But when he looks at his children, guess what? He doesn't see our sin anymore. Guess what he sees? He sees the blood. He sees his son's blood that has covered our sin. I need you to catch this. You see, it's not about going to Sunday school for 21 years. It's not about penance. It's not about Hail Marys. It's not about all that. It's about just surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, God, forgive me, I have sinned. And then he does the miraculous. How many believe that we serve a miracle God? Oh, that's right. So there needed to be a death in our place, a substitution. And it was Jesus who was sent from heaven to take the penalty of our transgressions on the cross. On the cross. How many are so blessed to know that? Well, we talked about Paul, right? Paul, who was in prison, and most of his letters that he wrote were in prison. Look at this right up here in 1 Corinthians 15. Look at this. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. It's about holding on now. Come on, it's about holding on. Okay, God, you said it, I believe it, it's done. But I need you to catch this because I'm building to a point here. I need you to catch this. I'm saved. I'm on fire for God. Oh, man. And I just sinned. And then we find ourselves in a pity party. Oh, woe is me. Don't we love those pity parties? But you sinned. But you sinned, and you're not going to tell anyone that. So now your own heart starts to condemn you. And now here comes old Slewfoot. Old devil's lurking too. Uh-huh. I knew you weren't a child of God. Oh, he'll come to you in your dream. He'll come to you in your room. He'll show up in your room. If you don't believe the devil's real, keep thinking that. You'll see him in the lake of fire if you die without Jesus. Lord, help us, God. Look at this in verse 3. For I delivered you, look at this. I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to what? According to what the pastor says? According to what you says? No, according to the scriptures. and that he was buried, and that he rose again, and on the third day, according to the scriptures, that he rose again. How many are so blessed that he died for you and I? I know some of you thought you were coming in for a lovely Mother's Day message. But I did say Happy Mother's Day. And I meant it. Mothers are precious, amen? But I believe this message is going to build us up. It's going to solidify. It's going to even cause someone to start believing God that, you know what? God is with me. God will strengthen me. Even through my shortcomings, God is with me. You have to believe that God is with you. Did you know he already saw the beginning of your life and the end of your life? So he's seen everything already played out. We're just living it out in real time. But he's already seen the day you were thrust out of your mother's womb, and he even saw the day that they would be singing songs at your funeral. He's seen it all. This is to help us to get along the way. My hope is he comes for us before any of us has to see a pine coffin. Can I get amen? I'm hoping that he just scoops us all up. Now, God imputed, meaning he applied. Imputed means he applied justification, glorification. He applied the blood to our life and imputed. Guess what he imputed upon us? Yes. See, someone's reading their word. He imputed righteousness upon us. Oh, that's right. You walked in here, the believers walked in here with the righteousness of Christ. Even though you couldn't find a parking, you might have cursed out somebody. I don't know. I'm just playing. But that doesn't change the position he has for you. Can I get an amen? I need you to catch this. You see, God imputed the righteousness of Christ at the same times our sins were imputed to Christ on the cross. I need you to see this. The cross. How many have seen the movie, The Passion of the Christ? The horrendous beating. The skin torn. And as he hung there finally, he was up there. Guess what was taking place? I need you to go back to when you were a child. Go back as further as you can believe. Remember your life. For me, it was 5 years old. That's the first I can go back to this present day. And as he was up there hanging, all of our wretchedness, all of our sins, all of our shortcomings, all of our agendas, everything was nailed to the cross. And God placed everything there on the cross. That was yours, that was mine. It was imputed upon him. So he did not become a sinner up there. They placed our sins on him as a sin offering to his Father. You need to catch this. And that alone did something that the devil hates. Did you know old Slewfoot hates that? He hates what you listen. It was the biggest setup because the devil thought he had him. The devil thought he had him. Oh, I got him now. Oh, now he's dead. Look at that. And then Jesus rose again on the third day. Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. That's right. Look what, I want you to catch this. This is what Peter wrote up here. Look at this. Peter wrote this. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So if there's anyone to copy, to emulate, it's Christ. Who committed no sin? He committed no sin. Look at this. Nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. He gave his life up. Look at this. Who himself bore our sins. Did you catch that? I was demonstrating right now what he did, but the word of God confirms it. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for what? Righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. My goodness. As a believer, our soul was so sick, and it was headed to a place called hell. And God came to rescue us. It was the great rescue. I need you to catch this real quick so that you can picture this in your mind. Let's just say all of us in this room, we went deep sea fishing. And I love me some bluefin. And let's just say a storm came out of nowhere. It wasn't on the radar. And a storm came out of nowhere. And now the boat's going like this. And then it topside. Now we're all in the water. And one by one, sharks are eating us up. And then within an hour, a school of sharks, big white, the white sharks, great white, ate us all up except one. And let's just say you were the last one. And the reason why they didn't eat you yet, because their bellies are full. But wait for another moment. And now, here comes a boat. And a lifeline is thrown. Grab on to the life ring and we'll pull you up. I have to ask this question. How many of you would grab on to the life ring? Huh? Or are you going to perish there and be sushi for a shark? You're going to grab onto the life ring, aren't you? Well, that's who Jesus is. He's the life ring. He's the life ring. He came to this earth to save us from that horrible place. Religion cannot save you. I don't care how many catechisms that you went to. It will not save you. Sunday school won't save you. Guess what? People that you love that are saved, they can't even save you. Because when it's time to go, when it's time for the Christians to go and Christ comes for us, you cannot grab on to a pant leg or to a skirt and say, take me with you. It becomes personal. It becomes, I need Jesus for myself. Can I get amen? I need that life ring to have my name on it. That he came for me. Can I get amen? So he bore our sins. Look at this. Look at this. Who himself bore our sins on his own? On the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now look at this. For you were like sheep gone astray, but I have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Amen. I need you to catch that. When we leave our mother's womb, when we're thrust out, did you know that immediately when we come into this world as infants, then toddlers, then young people, then young adults. Did you know until you get saved, we're walking away from God. We have no mind for God. We don't even think about God. We want nothing to do with God. You don't wake up and pray. You don't wake up and say, praise the Lord. No, because the Bible's clear. that we've gone astray. And then when he comes into your life, he says, choose me this day. Choose me this day. Because his desire, I need you to catch this. God's desire is that none should perish, but that all would come to repentance and give their heart to God. So that you could know without a shadow of a doubt that when this body finally goes to the dust, my soul and spirit will be with him. I call it fire insurance. Any of you got fire insurance in here? Forget about Allstate. You need Jesus insurance. Can I get an amen? Look what else Paul, he wrote, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. You catch that? Jesus' father made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And that's what happened at the cross. So I must take you back to look ahead. Bear with me in here. Come on. Don't worry. The ribs at home will still be there. I know some of you got some nice stuff cooked up, ready to go. Hang on. That grub's still going to be there. But look at this. We need to look at number one, the fall of grace. The fall from grace. I'll go quickly now in these scriptures. And then we'll come in for our close. But if you don't know what took place, you're never going to know why God came for us. Can I get an amen? Jesus just didn't come to the scene. Just, okay, I want to save all you knuckleheads. No, he didn't come. Come on, you got to know why he came. So it goes back to Genesis. Look at this. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. In other words, God is saying, if you touch this tree that I told you not to eat, you will not only die physically, but you will die spiritually. Wow. Look at this. In Genesis 3:9, we're going to move ahead. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. Now, who told them that they were naked? This is after they ate the forbidden fruit. Okay, so now we're fast forwarding. Look at this. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Uh-oh. Look at this in verse 12. Then the man said, the woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me. So I want all your husbands to point at your wife right now. It was her. You know, I'm just playing up here. Look at this. Early on, this is the blame game already. Huh? And what causes blame? A sinful nature. They had become sinners. They started thinking of sin now. It was you. It was you. No, it was you. You have to take it back to where our nature came from. It came from them. Oh, we're the first ones. It wasn't me. Look at this. And he said, who told you? Then the man, look at that. The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Now it shifted from her to the snake. Oh, no, no, listen, nobody wants to own it, do they? Oh, come on, no, none of us want to own stuff. When we fumble the ball, none of us want to own it. Come on, we'll find so many ways to squiggle out of it. So let's move a little forward. Look at this. Look at this in verse 16 of Genesis 3:16. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain, you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Let me pause there. How many moms are in here? Oh, it felt real good when that baby came, huh? Oh, this feels so good. I just read right here. There would be sorrow in conception.
Pain.
And for the man, he had to go to work now. Right? Husbands? Breadwinners? Priests? Leaders? Right? Had to go to work. See, God, he set in place everything for fallen man. God already knew man was going to fall and fail. He could have wiped us all out. He didn't, though. Why? Because he had something for you and I even today that he wants to bless and show you his grace and his mercy. That even though you guys, all of us in here are rotten sinners, he could have did this like this. I'm done with you. Like a cucuracho. You got to understand the depths of his love that he sent. He sent his son, his only begotten son, to take our place on that cross. My goodness. Are you getting any of this? Look at this in verse 18. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. In other words, we have to work and work all the way until we come to the ground. Look at this. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall what? Return. See, we need to understand this. Look at this in verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. So that's the first time we hear that there had to be a shedding of blood. So God had to shed an animal to cover them and clothe them. Jesus had to shed his blood to cover and clothe us. Can I get an amen? Look at this. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to the ground from which he was taken. Look at verse 24. So he drove out the man and placed the cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. I need you to catch this. I need you to catch this. Mankind, until this day, has not been privileged to enter into this place. Hallelujah. But when Jesus, hallelujah, comes for his church, hallelujah, and then the 1,000-year millennial reign will take place. Guess what's going to happen after those 1,000 years? See, if you're not reading your Bible, you're not going to know the end of the story. How many love the end of the story? We're reading the beginning. So what happened here, God is going to turn it around and make it for good. So guess what? The new Jerusalem will come. A brand new life for us. And we will, the tree of life, that same tree that mankind was now told, you couldn't come to this place no more. He will reopen it up, for the tree of life will give us life everlasting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many so blessed to know that? He has a plan in place for you. I hope you know that. But you got to get a hold of it. And so saying, since the fall of man, the whole world has been under the curse of sin. And it groans for a change. Did you know that this world is groaning for a change? Aren't you tired of reading the news? And every day there's a mass killing, a mass shooting? Yeah, there wasn't like that when we was growing up. We used to ride our bikes till 9 o'clock and not worry about someone blowing us away. Can I get an amen? Every day now there's a mass shooting. There's a killing somewhere. My goodness. And now they're targeting your children. They want to pervert them. And that's right, YouTube, Facebook. You could shut me off if you want. But they want to castrate your child now. Where have we come to? See, that's why the Word of God says this whole world now is moaning and groaning for a change. It's tired of this sin now on this earth. It's tired now. Well, where do you find that, preacher? I find it in the Word of God. Look what Isaiah wrote right here. The earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth languish. The earth is also what? Defiled under its inhabitants because they have transgressed the laws. Can I get amen? Look at this. They changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. My goodness. And in the book of Romans, Paul wrote it best. He says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. So these are birth pains that we're seeing. But man, I'm telling you, when the birth finally comes, we will be with him forevermore. How many can't wait for that moment? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. God has our best in mind for you. I hope you know that. He's for us, not against us. He saved you for such a time as this. Look at this. God's grace and righteousness came before the law. It came before the law. And before the law came to point out the Lord to us, the Lord in his foreknowledge declared Abraham righteous by faith. You're teaching us in Genesis. And how did Abraham become righteous, brother? You taught us. By faith. By faith. Look at this. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and the heir of my house in Eliezer at Damascus? Abraham, look at this. Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. Look at this. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir. There's a promise. Who was the promise? You've been teaching us. Who's the promise? No, who's the promise from Abraham? Isaac. Isaac. That's why the Jews will pray today, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But it was through that lineage came the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How many so blessed to know that? And because Jesus came, he came to save you and I. Can I get amen? See, there's an order with God. You got to read the order of God. If you're not reading your Bible, you're never going to know, why did he come for me? Why did he come for me? Many of us don't know that, right? Well, I'm here teaching you this morning. This is why he came. He came to eradicate the past to bring us to the present so that we would have a glorious future. Yes, can I get an amen? Amen. How many can't wait for that glorious future? The worship team today, we saw a glimpse. We saw a glimpse of heaven because we're going to be worshiping him 24/7. And we're not going to be like this. When is this song going to quit? When is that preacher going to sit down? My stomach is rumbling. I'm here to let you know there's not going to be clocks in heaven. We're going to be praising him 24/7. But then again, we're going to be in brand new bodies. Can I get an amen? How many can't wait for that new body? Look, these bodies we have now, they're failing us. I hope you know that. Okay, wait till you get to 64 and you'll understand. Some of you guys are young bucks in here, right? You guys are like, wait, 17, 18, 19? Man, at that age, I was King Kong on top of the hill. I could throw 65-yard passes on a... Oh, yeah, Philip remembers the passes we used to throw. Yeah, come on. We just whip those passes, right? I couldn't even get here to the wall anymore. We need that new body. How many believe we need that new body? You see, my friends, God's grace and foreknowledge chose us before the... How many of you believe that God chose you? That you're not here by mistake. Do you know that you were born in your family because God chose that? Did you know that he caused your mom and dad pass to cross so that you would come? I hope you know that. Oh, yes. Well, some of you are saying, show me that in scripture, preacher. All right, it's right up here. Look at this. In Ephesians chapter 1, look at this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. What? Oh, come on. If you're not excited about that, I don't know what will excite you. I don't care if you won the California lottery. It's going to go through your fingers like sand anyway at a beach. Oh, money comes and goes. Wealth comes and goes. Everything comes and goes. Relationships come and go. Children come and go. But we're looking at before the foundation of the world, meaning before God spoke everything into existence, he already knew your name. He already knew your name. Before anything was formed, God had a plan for you. And guess what? He already knew in his mind what we just read, that Adam and Eve were going to miss the mark. He knew that already. So in his glorious mind, he already knew that he was going to send his only son to die for humanity. You see, he could have destroyed us. After they sinned, he could have just wiped them all out and made a new kind of creation. But why didn't he do that? Because of his love. For God so loved the world that what? He gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not what? Perish. Did you know? Perish? Yeah. That we wouldn't die in our sin. That none should perish, but have everlasting life. How many are so blessed to know that we have everlasting life? We're almost done. We're almost done. Hang on. You'll go home and then put the muffins in the oven, right? They're not in the oven now, right? You see, God still had to bring his law so that mankind could be accountable. You see, until we come to an understanding that we broke his law, we're never going to know, what did I do? You ever caught your child with their hand in the cookie jar? They'll try to tell you, man, that wasn't me. Some of us Some of us can tell and say not the truth, even being busted red-handedly. Oh, come on. Right? I need you to catch this. It's in the New Living Translation so that we have a clear understanding of this. I need you to catch this. Look at this. Look at this. Well then, this is Paul the Apostle in Book of Romans. Hey, good to see you guys. Welcome. Yes. Hey, I need you all to know that these children are precious. Can I get an amen? They are precious. And you know why they're so precious? Because we're looking at future pastors and elders and those that will sing in the choir and those that will serve God. Can I get amen? You know God has a plan for them. He has a plan for them. And pray that they don't have to grow up to be knuckleheads like us. Can I get amen? We was knuckleheads for the longest. God had to hit me over the head with a brick. I need you to catch this, though. Look at this. It's in the New Living Translation. So it's a little different than the New King James. Well, then, I am suggesting that the law of God, he's asking a rhetorical question here. He says, am I suggesting that the law of God is sinful? Good question. Of course not. In fact, it was the law that showed me my sin. What? It was God's law that showed me my sin. And if you don't believe that, keep driving 80 down the freeway and you'll get stopped one day. And the officers are going to say, you were going 80. Okay, and you catch this. Of course not. In fact, it was the law that showed me my sin. I would never have known that coveting is wrong. What's coveting? Coveting, that means just wanting things. Coveting, if the law had not said, you must not covet. In the Ten Commandments, it says, you must not covet your husband's wife. Can I get amen? You must not covet to be rich. Work to be wealthy. Look at this. But sin used this command to arouse all kinds of covetous desires within me. If there were no law, sin would have what? Not have the power. At one time, I lived without understanding the law. But when I learned the command not to covet, for instance, the power of sin came to life. And I died. So I discovered that the law's commands, which were supposed to bring life, brought spiritual death instead. What? Sin took advantage of those commands and deceived me. It used the commands to kill me. But still, the law itself is holy, and its commands are holy and right and good. How many believe that? Aren't you so blessed that the law pointed you to the cross? It did. And so I need you to understand your new position. How many believe that there's royalty flowing in your blood now? Huh? How many believe that? How many believe that you are royalty? Come on. That God has blessed you above all, abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Oh, thank you, God. I'm going to take you there right now. Look at this. Look at this. God needed to justify his elect. And when he did that, I want you to catch this right up here. Look at this. But say that with me. But you are a what? Chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. His own special people. That you might proclaim the praises of him who called you and me out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. There's so much more, but I'm going to pause now because I see someone going. And I won't put you on blast. But I think we get the picture, don't we? It is God who justifies us. It is God who saved us. It is God who has a mighty plan for us. And remember I shared with you about the new world that God has for us? It's right up here. And I'll close with this scripture. This is John. John, who wrote the book of John, and he wrote the three epistles at the end. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea, so you better get your sushi in now. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride. Adorned for who? Her husband. And look at this. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have what? Say that. Pass away. Thank you, God. And I close with this one. Then he who sat on the throne, look at this, said, behold, I make all things new. And he said, write these things. These things are true. The words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And look at this. And I will give of the fountain of water of life, what? Freely. For those who thirst, but he always leaves a warning. Why does God leave a warning? Because he loves us and he doesn't want us to fail. He doesn't want us to fall into a ditch. He doesn't want us to perish. He doesn't want us to go where he's going to throw the false prophet and the devil in the lake of fire. It's right here in verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son and daughter too. But the cowardly, here we go. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, those are drug dealers and drug addicts. It comes from pharmacia, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Wow. He came to save us from that. That's why Jesus came. That's why we're justified by his blood. Can I get an amen? Come on, give God a shout of praise. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and whatever's on their heart. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up. Sister Lauren, you come up too. Pray for us. Listen, don't leave this place without asking for prayer. And before you press to the altar, I'm going to ask for all the mothers to come up here. All the mamas. Come on, mothers. I'm going to ask all the mothers to come up. And also the ones that are desiring to be a mama. Come on up. Listen, mothers, get a little closer, and I want you to put a hand on each shoulder. Put a hand on each shoulder. I need you to understand just this one little thing I want to share with each and every one of you. You are all so precious in the sight of God. God has given you the gift of motherhood. Even through all the faults and failures, maybe the things you've done, maybe they weren't done right, but guess what? God redeems us. God restores us. God renews us. God blesses us. And today is a new day. Listen, I don't care what happened yesterday. Yesterday's gone. Today's a new day. And tomorrow, He has a blessing in store for all of you. You just need to walk in faith. I'm going to pray over you, precious mothers, a blessing that would come upon you to enrich you, to restore, to just restore those things. Maybe there are some in your life right now that you're still praying for. They haven't come into the saving knowledge just yet. I want you to hold on and keep holding on. Never give up. A mother never quits. A mother keeps going. A mother continues to love. You guys are the heart of the home. Us men are the knuckleheads of the home, but you women are the heart of the home. And you guys are all precious. And so let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we proclaim this day. We lift up these precious mothers to you right now. Lord, that you would pour upon them continual love, grace, and mercy. Lord, I pray for their health, that you would even restore their health. Lord, I pray abundance of mercy and grace upon their life. Lord, as they continue to serve you and seek you, I pray, Lord, that you would fulfill the desires of their heart according to your will and purpose. Oh God, each and every one of these mothers are precious in your sight, and they're precious here at Amazing Grace, but they're more so precious to their families, oh God, where you have placed them. I pray that they would always get help from their family members and raising up their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Lord, that their family would be a team, and they would honor you. And Lord, that they would continue to be a blessing to this dying world. Lord, we need more godly mothers to proclaim you. And so God, bless them now this day. I pray that they have a wonderful time at home with their family and friends. I pray, God, that you would use them mightily for such a time as this. That they would be light and bright, shining stars in the midst of darkness, and people would see and know that they love you, Jesus. So God, bless them abundantly above all that they could ever think and ask and hope for, and that the joy of the Lord will be their strength. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give a shout of praise.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38.com. amazing-grace39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.